Hey everybody, welcome back to The Shift. This week's guest is Enya Martin, an Irish comedian, and Sarah Talmash, an American-based comedian, both absolutely hysterical. So have a listen to the episode, it's a lot of fun. We chat a bit about when to say I love you, both girls have been in serious long-term relationships, so they give a bit of advice about that. And then, yeah, we just have general chats, so enjoy, and I'll talk to you at the end of the episode.
We were just talking about how mean people are on TikTok.
You think they're mean? I've had nothing but positivity on TikTok, but I don't have the numbers that you have, and I feel like once you reach a certain amount of views, you start getting the hate that way.
That's what I don't understand, like, when people get so annoyed, you know, by someone they don't even know. Like, they obviously never met you, they don't know you, they don't know anything about you. And they could just keep scrolling, but they actually just, what I don't get is they actually get so angry and like so agitated. And it's like, just keep scrolling. Like, why does this bother you so much?
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny though, that you made somebody have such a visceral feeling. It's such a funny, that you can do that to somebody, that you can create, they just hate you, like, by doing one little post. Yeah.
We're literally just trying to make people laugh, and that gives us joy. And it's so funny that they're like, how dare you try to make me laugh?
Like, yeah, they get really upset. Like, I don't know how, I mean, I haven't talked to like musicians or anything, but I don't think they get nearly as much hate that comedians get.
No.
I think it's because we can just have opinions and get away with having certain opinions. You know, we can kind of say what we want on stage and have the artistic license to say it. Whereas, like, if a musician came out and said it, they would feel less entitled, I feel.
Yeah.
I guess because musicians are just like, love, or, you know, hate. Yeah. And then we're like, my arse. I don't know. And they're like, fuck you, talking about arses.
Yeah. Who wants to hear a racist joke?
Oh god. But yeah, so what I kind of wanted to talk to you about wait, are you, if you don't mind, I know you're married, Sarah, happily. How long are you married?
Yeah. We just celebrated 3 years.
Oh, congratulations. That's great.
Thank you.
And I read online, but it was from 2018, so I don't know if that's still going strong, that you were in a long-term relationship. Are you still with your boyfriend?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we're together 12 years, but we're not engaged or anything. We don't want to rush it.
Okay, so that sounds great.
Passive aggressive.
And you guys met in school, right?
We met on Bebo. Do you remember Bebo?
I'm still afraid that I've gone to look for my Bebo, just because I'm afraid if I ever manage to get successful, I don't know why, but that someone would find my Bebo and not find anything bad that I've said, but embarrassing shit. Because I'm pretty sure I was like, you know, like inspirational quotes or something. Ugh.
Oh, like the height of immaturity is probably what my Bebo would be known for. I mean, I was only like 15, 16 when I was using it. And yeah, like but it's gone now. Like, it's literally gone. You can't find your page whatsoever.
Oh,
and I'm kind of raging because there was a lot of like cool photographs that I would have loved to kind of see now, you know, like 10, 12 years later. Just like really cringe worthy photographs of like being in school and whatnot. But yeah, oh well.
Yeah.
Lesson learned.
I don't even know what Bebo is.
Oh, you don't? They didn't have it in America?
I don't think so.
Really? It was a bit like Facebook. It was before Facebook came on the scene, and I was kind of up there with MySpace. It was like a kind of younger version of MySpace.
Yeah, I think we were more into MySpace, and then it went directly into Facebook. But I don't think I know anyone that did. How do you say, is it Beeble or Bebo?
Bebo.
People.
Okay.
Well, I think I wanted to go back a few years ago because the love of my life is friends with me on Bebo, and I'm sure he's not actually the love of my life, but when I was 17 I met some guy in Andorra. We had this great one night, and then we were friends on Bebo. And then a few years later, when Bebo was deleted, I was like, oh, I wonder how Nick is. And then I couldn't go on to look, and I was like, oh, how can I stalk previous romance, holiday romances?
Do you know his last name?
Yeah, Nick Birch. So, of course, there's a famous Nick Birch. So
we're on an FBI that shit right now.
Well, if anybody finds him, he lives in England. And we had like one of those phone romances for like 6 months or something. And we never even had sex. I was just 17, you know. And it just fizzled out. He was planning to see me. I was planning to like run off to England. Oh, it's very dramatic.
What about MSN? Did you have that, Sarah? MSN?
I don't know. What's that?
That was like,
is that a messenger service or something?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm actually a little bit older than you guys, but I feel like some of the stuff I missed, I'm too late on.
So you had like a Windows PC back in like 2006, 2007. Oh wait, you would probably have had MSN on your computer. It was just like an instant messaging service.
Okay.
But yeah, it was just like, I suppose, a quick way to talk to friends and stuff like that. Because would you be the same age as me, Katie? I'm 27.
Yeah, I'm 29. I'm going to be 30 in 4 weeks. So sorry, just wanted to drop that.
Around wait. Your era as well, like, wouldn't have.
We'd be the same. So wait, but you like, Sarah, how old are you, if you don't mind asking me?
Oh, no, I'm 42.
You're 42? Oh, I thought you were like 2 years older than me, most.
Oh my God, like, what moisturizer are you using?
I don't know. It's called Zoom Clean Up Your Appearance.
I know, I by accident have...
Do you have a ring light too?
Oh, you have a ring light. Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. I know. I want to walk around with my ring light outside in real life. Because you know what's been happening with me? I've been thinking, Jesus, I look brilliant in the pandemic. But actually in TikTok, it automatically goes to beauty mode. And then I've been using the ring light. And then I go outside just walking around, no makeup on. And I get a catch of my glimpse. And I'm like, Jesus, I'm looking a bit tired. All the mirrors and all the reflections should have beauty mode on it now. So we always just live this. And eyes, people's eyes.
I think we would feel happier. Yeah. I want to kill myself when I see an unflattering photo. You know when you accidentally have your photo flipped on and then you see yourself kind of like this for a brief moment? It's awful. Yeah.
And so, but did you guys have, so, because we had MSN, that's what it was called, right? But you had AOL. Is that not the same thing? Or am I being an idiot?
I think it's the same thing. I didn't get, AOL was big, or Messenger, but I think there was a time period where I wasn't really on computers for a while. Like, I was just out drinking or going out. Like, I didn't work because I was doing stand-up and I was never in an office for a good chunk of my 10 years.
Yes, you would have been in your early 30s, around when we were kind of like late teens, like 18, 19. So yeah. Maybe it was just like, what did they call that kind of thing? Like a different generation.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Sorry, I probably make you feel old.
It's fine.
Well, I remember MSN, like you would chat to your friends and stuff, but I also remember some guy like wanking himself in front of us on it. Like, so was that MSN where random people could like...
Oh, I think that was Hello Meagle or something like that, wasn't it?
I don't know. I just remember when we were younger, like me and my friend, and we got drunk, but we were like 15 or maybe 14, and just going on. I thought in my brain, my memory, it's MSN, but it might not have been. And some guy just wanking in front of us, and I was like laughing, like we had told him we were way older and stuff. Yeah, he was raging then when he, I know, isn't that awful? Horrible. But he was raging then when we wouldn't respond because we were like, pretended we were like an older woman with boobs and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
There's that thing called like chat roulette, right? That should be for those You can do that kind of stuff. And
it might have been that, actually. I remember I can't even say it.
Roulette. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the YouTube videos where, like, they record people being kind of pranked on chat roulette and stuff? Like you said, like, where you pretend that you're someone else and then you're not, and, like, you come up on screen and you're, like, dressed as, like, the Cookie Monster or something.
I've seen that on TikTok, but there's a puppet who does it, and he's like, show me, or whatever.
His elbow or something. I think it was elbow. Oh, so funny. Just started getting, like, so aggressive.
Do you know what? I did want to actually talk to you guys. I don't know why I got this into my head, but oh, why did I get it into my head? Someone was talking about when to say I love you, and then I just started talking about it to my friends, and everybody had such a different opinion. And then I was researching it, and all of the fancy people, you know, like people who were educated in this stuff, like Psychology Today and Oprah magazine, they all had such strong opinions that were all different. So I was like, oh, that might be fun to chat about. And obviously you two are in love. Successful long term.
That's a tricky one, but I'm an advocate for the guy that has to say it first.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
I just feel like, I don't know. But although I have heard statistically that guys fall in love faster than women do.
Yeah, I read that as well. Apparently a guy, statistically, I can't say that word, they'll say it within a month, whereas a girl will usually wait a month and a half if she's left to say it.
I think if you say it too soon, though, it can kind of freak you out a bit. It's like, we've only been seeing each other for like 3 weeks. I suppose it is different to everyone. Like, when is the right time to say it? Like, when's too soon? If you know what I mean.
Yeah, there was a great thing that I read, and it was like, saying I love you means different things to other people, and you have to know what it means. Because I say I love you, I've said I love you to my laptop a couple of times, like, you know, I say I love you to cats in the street. I'm very like loving, and I love saying it, so it means something very different to me. So yeah, if you're, and then you can have someone who their family might never say it, and it's very precious, and to say that, so it's like, it's so hard, each person's so different.
Yeah, I think Joe, my husband, said it pretty early that I didn't even take it that seriously, because we were friends before, and that I already knew that he had he could fall in love pretty easily, and I was like, whatever.
Did you say it back, or did you say whatever?
No, I think I just said it, because I'm like, I'm not gonna leave it hanging. I can always leave if I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I'm sure if I do love him, it'll eventually turn into love. It's just easier to be like, I love you too. But like, I just didn't take it that seriously when he said it at first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how long was that, though?
I don't know. I want to say within like a month or so.
Yeah. That seems to be, a lot of my friends are saying between a month and 3, when the ones that are in serious relationships that I've asked.
Yeah.
I think the guy that I'm with now, like, I'm with him 12 years. But I had like this relationship. I was only like 15 at the time, so it was like real puppy love. And I was seeing him for like a month or something like that, and I was absolutely heartbroken that we broke up. So the guy that I'm seeing now is literally like to make him jealous. So I'm like 6, 7, 8, 12 years later.
I'm working.
I'm still playing him. Yeah.
That's amazing. You're still seeing, if he's looking at your stories and stuff. You're like, quickly get into a couple photo.
Yeah, it was like, so like, it took me a while to say it, because I still really liked the other guy. So yeah, it took me a really long time. But in saying that, though, like, just back to Bebo there, do you remember you could have another half on Bebo? So like, there was this thing where somebody could be your other half. It was really weird. And I asked him to be my other half, my current boyfriend now. And he was like, I don't know, I think we're kind of rushing into things a bit. It's like, really? Like, it was like having like a best friend, like, pinned to the top of your profile. So you, like, yeah, it was kind of more like a romantic thing rather than actually asking one of your mates to be your other half. It was just like a bit of progress in the relationship.
I was just going to say, I guess like I think guys have maybe guys, I don't want to put all guys, but like, putting a label on something, sometimes I feel like they get weirded out by that. Like, sometimes they'll be like, I can say I love you, but they're like, I don't know if I want to be like girlfriend, boyfriend. And you're like, what is this?
This is insane. Like, the last guy I was seeing, he said it was 5 months. He said we were exclusive. And when I ended it, he was like, yeah, I think that was good, because I'm not sure if I was ready for you to be my girlfriend anyway. And I was like, Wait, where were we then? Wasn't your girlfriend? I was like, I would have been dating other people. I'm not exclusive with someone that I'm not their girlfriend. It's been 5 months, you freak. But yeah, it gets scary because they think girlfriend or commitment or whatever, they're like, they have this thing that they're gonna, that happens marriage straight away. And it's like
trapped or something like that. They feel trapped or like, yeah, like you said, commitment, like all of a sudden it's just a completely different role. They have so many different responsibilities, as if they've been like promoted in a job or something like that, you know.
With less pay.
Are they ruining all other opportunities by being labeled something like that, that you're, I don't know. I just feel like it's really funny to see how guys squirm when you start putting labels on stuff. And there's mixed signals. It's so mixed.
Yeah, it's so, because they could like tell you like their deepest secrets and tell you how amazing you are and stuff, but then they don't want to refer to you as a girlfriend. When for the girls, anyway, for me personally, I just like having the girlfriend label because then I feel more relaxed in the relationship. I'm like, okay, now I know for sure he's not banging other people and he actually likes me. And that's all. I don't need anything more. I'm not expecting them to like, I don't know what they think I expect all of a sudden then.
If their friends like have an impact on it, like what their mates might think, oh, you're in a relationship now, that's it now, you're off the scene, we'll never see it again, or...
I don't know, because it's older men as well. I've dated older men and it doesn't seem to be like... Yeah. I think it's just something in them, that they're like, oh, well, now I'll never get to fuck Beyonce or something. You're like, you never had that option, you fucking idiot.
Just in case, let's just hold off for a bit.
It is interesting.
It is really fast. I mean, I think I'll talk to some friends like that are younger that are dating and they're all on the apps, and some of the messages that they get, I'm like, oh my god, this is so confusing and awful to deal with, where they're like, I don't know if this guy likes me, because he'll like text me that we should hang out. And then when I'm like, I'm ready to hang out, he's like, oh, I'm busy. And then I'm in the neighborhood, let's get drinks. And then she's like, oh, I can't, but how about Monday? And he's like, well, we'll see. Like you can never, it's never on their time. And then I was like, of course it's confusing, because it's like they're reaching out to you, so you feel like they're interested, but then they're never like committing to anything.
That's like one thing I'm glad I've missed out on being in a relationship so long, that I don't have to deal with that back and forth, not knowing where you stand. And
it's brutal.
You're both lucky in regards to, because you're both in cities, and I feel like single women experience this worse in cities, because the guys who move to cities are kind of, they have a name for it here, like Peter Panning, I believe it's called. Is that right, Sarah?
I love it. I love that all these terminologies for everything, like haunting, ghosting.
I just heard it on another podcast. An American girl was saying Peter Panning, and I was like, I never. The other thing is, they have so much option because there's so many hot, successful women that they're like, why would I? It's ruined them.
Yeah,
it's really like I have a friend who's gay, and he would be on Grindr, like, you know, the app Grindr, and some of the shit like gets sent to him, it's like, whoa, like that's just a whole different world. Like anything goes, and I'm like, imagine a guy sending stuff like that to a girl. It'd just be like borderline, like nearly sexual harassment. Like it's just a whole different world, isn't it? With a different set of rules, like.
That's so true. Yeah. I remember when I first came over here, like my first New York gay friend, and he was showing me stuff, and he was just like, he said they open with penises, and he was disappointed if they don't open with penises. I was like, oh my god. And very open communication, like, oh, I can't meet up with you tonight, I'm meeting up with someone else, and that's perfectly fine. Like it's much more
They're married or they have kids and stuff, and they haven't like come out, and it's all has to be like so hush hush. It's like, oh my god, especially people that would be from the same area that you live in, and it's like so anonymous and stuff. It's like a whole underground thing going on there.
Yeah, I also heard that they deal with a lot more, like, I want to say, not like racism, but very like strict, like no short guys. I don't want to date Asians. And then they can just be overtly like out there like that. And I was like, oh, that sounds problematic.
Yeah, like you call like big lads, like bears.
I like you stole the words out of my mouth. Yeah.
And they put in the bio, like, no beers.
What? Or some of them are like, that's like a sexual fetish. It's like, I like bears. Like one of my friends, he's like, he's not even overweight. He's just like slightly bigger. And I was just saying to him the other day, I was like, you'd kill it with gay men.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's funny because a woman wouldn't say that. She wouldn't be like on her bio, I just like chubbier men, please, thank you. Or maybe she would. I don't know. I wouldn't be so suspicious. Well, I mean,
yeah, like then it's like it would get really, I suppose, imagine a guy putting in his bio, I don't like big girls. Like that would kind of get a bit controversial then, wouldn't it? And we're like, well, if a girl can say she doesn't like big guys, can a guy say he doesn't like big girls or vice versa with skinny girls or skinny guys and stuff?
Yeah.
But like, I know short men get heavily discriminated on the dating apps. It's a big problem.
Yes. I have it set to no lower than 5 foot. What am I? 5 foot seven. 5 foot seven. I don't want them shorter than me.
Yeah. I know. So how are we any better than when guys are like, I don't want a certain girl that it's really weird.
I think it's fine for them to say that.
I do too.
A friend of mine, he was dating this girl and he really gets on great with her, great, great personality match, but he just wasn't attracted to her. And he said, I feel really bad about this, but I'm really attracted to bigger arses. And he felt, and he was going through this turmoil. And I was like, that's fine. If that's what you're attracted to, I was like, I'm attracted to taller men. And you are attracted to what you're attracted to. There's no problem. Like, and he felt guilty for that. I was like, it's fine. If that's what you want.
I don't know whether I'd be able to point it out to their face. Well, I don't mind. Yeah, I'd probably have to just be like, look, I don't think there's a spark here. But...
Yeah. I told him not to say that to her. Don't be like, I need you to get a fatter arse. Jesus, the poor girl.
But wouldn't it be nice to know on those dating apps to the guys that don't want to date overweight girls? They like, good to know. Because then I know him as a personality trait now as well. Yeah. And then you can completely avoid them at all costs.
It's very shallow, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. And look, I don't know, as a woman, I feel like we're raised more to be less shallow in regards to like Disney. Well, no, that's not true. Well, I just feel like I've been brought up on a lot of romance movies, so I'm all about like personality, if that makes sense.
I definitely agree. Like, I think if a guy is too vain, I think that's very unattractive. But I think if he has a really good sense of humor, and you know, you might just be a 6 out of 10, like that wouldn't bother me. Like, you really wouldn't. What did you say? Beauty is only skin deep.
It's so true.
I mean, looked great for a while.
Well, no, I was just gonna say it is true, but sometimes when you I've gone out with guys that I wouldn't be attracted to, but I've been like, oh, they seem so nice, and then they still kind of turned out to be dickheads as well. So
yeah, I was gonna say that, like, that's why, you know, I don't know, when guys are like, girls only want like a certain or attractive thing. I always say that, like, at least dress well. If you're not on the attractive level, have a little bit of flair, because that will like totally boost you up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I'm always like, invest in a nice jacket and don't look like a slob when you show up. And I feel like that will help you out so much more.
I think confidence is a big thing as well. Like, if you don't like necessarily, if you're not extremely attractive, like, I think confidence makes a massive difference as well.
Yes,
I agree with you. I've one friend and he eats up ladies. Like, I don't know, that sounded weird. That's not a good thing. I mean, he gets nonstop ladies and he's not attractive at all, but he's just so confident and he says the right thing and he does the right thing. And you're like, okay, well, like, confident. And he's funny. Look, he's one of the funniest people I know. So that's it. If you're funny and I think for women, funny is a big thing. And I think a lot of men struggle with that because then they try to be funny maybe when they're not. And it's like, that's okay if you're not as well. Don't try to fake it. Just use your other qualities, like be nice and stuff like that. But mostly I hear women say they want to have a bit of a laugh.
Yes. Or someone fun, or also someone that's like interested or likes hanging out with you.
Yeah.
Because I've dated guys that don't give a shit.
I just like what you said, once you can maintain a conversation.
Yeah. Because the last guy I was seeing, he's just a lovely person. But I did kind of think a few times, like, oh, I have to uphold a conversation. And I just think that's something we don't match on, because he's very interesting and stuff like that. And it was great the first while. But you know, when you get out of that kind of little honeymoon and then you're like, actually, we don't have a lot. to chat about. And that's really important to be able to just banter. That's huge for me. Yeah.
Well, it's brutal. I dated a guy that I thought was like probably one of the more attractive guys I've ever dated, but the conversation was just not interesting.
Yeah.
That it just killed it. I was like, I'm like, oh no. I finally felt like I got a guy that was like super attractive and then I was like not into him.
It's always too good to be true, isn't it?
I know.
I know. It's sad. Like the hottest guy I ever dated, and I've said it on the podcast before, but he didn't believe in space. So you're like, we can't even converse.
Did he believe the earth was flat as well?
He what?
Maybe,
who knows? He had all these like theories about like food and milk and okay. The podcast listeners have heard a lot about him because he's this guy we call Boris, but I don't know if I've actually said this on the podcast, but one time he told me it was because he was always pressuring me if I wanted to have kids one day, and I don't know, and we were only together a few months, so it was very stressful. But he said, yeah. He brought up one day randomly, women who don't breastfeed is assault. And I was like, what? So very strong.
Wow.
Yeah. Ugh, anyway, very hot though. Very hottest person in the world.
That's hilarious. It's like, how did his family ruin that? Like he could have had an amazing package and then he was just raised on bullshit.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Because he was hot, he had a good, like a reasonably good job, an apartment, and this, you know, he's very caring at the start, you know, so caring and like lovely, but then it turned into like possessive and it's like, and then as well, his conspiracy beliefs and strong beliefs on women and what they should do. But it's obviously his parents, you know. I don't know. There's some story there that I didn't stick along with to find out. But I know it's not sad when you're like, someone ruined you.
It really is. Like that, that would be a big ball buster now, to be honest. I mean, like getting like someone really attractive and then they open their mouth and it's like, oh, well, it was good while it lasted.
I know, because you can't take them out. And you're like, the whole reason for you to be hot is so I can show you off. But like, you sound so stupid in public.
So embarrassing. I know. I dated this really hot guy and he was from Ireland. And then all the American girls, when they met him, would kind of fawn off over him because he was like super hot. His dad's from Jamaica and his mum was from Ireland. And then he had a Northern Irish accent. So they were just like, oh my God. But then he would get plastered drunk and say like really mean stuff, like trying to be funny. You know where Irish people banter, but then it's like too much. Like he was roasting them. And I was like, I can't take you out. You're making people cry.
Oh, like I have had friends who have like gone with guys and, you know, they're grand when like they're sober. And then when they get drunk, and you just have to be careful what you say around them because they get so, I suppose, offended very easily. They just take things up wrong. You can't. It's like walking on eggshells every time you have a couple of drinks. It's just that it's not a nice atmosphere to be around. And because they're your best friend or friend, it's hard to kind of pull them up on it, you know, because they're like infatuated with this guy. So, yeah, it's a catch 22.
Especially the infatuation. Like I was so infatuated that a bunch of the guys had to like sit me down and they were like telling me that they're going to buy me this book, like a self-help book, and I had to write what I wanted in a guy, but they were like, you can't be bringing this guy out, like
this guy sounds awful that your friends made you get a self-help book.
I think though if your friends are like red flags, I definitely think you should listen to them because they're seeing it from an outside perspective, you know. If they're good friends, not jealous friends. But I definitely think you should take note of what they say and what they can see from standing outside looking in.
Yeah. Or your parents, like if you've a good relationship with them. But I'd always tell my dad like stuff that's going on. And he's always right. He's just like, because he knows me and they know you. If you have a good relationship, or someone you have a good relationship, if it's a best friend or a cousin, and I never take the advice. I'm always like, nah, you don't know. And then a month later, I'm like, you knew.
Or you're making up excuses for them. You're like, no, that was just a once off and they're not usually like that. That's kind of like getting into dangerous territory then, isn't it?
That's the worst. Once you start making up excuses, that's when you know, like, you know.
Yeah. Or when you feel like you can't, I think a big part also when you date somebody, it's like, they have to be able to mix with everyone that you hang out with nicely. I mean, they don't have to get along. They don't have to be like, you know, chummy, but, or be hit it off all the time. But I'm just like, I could take them to a party and I don't have to worry about them.
You don't have to like literally sit on his lap for the whole party. Like you can just let him be.
Yeah.
That's the dream.
A social butterfly, isn't that what they call it?
Yeah.
And even if they're not super sociable, but that they're like, they're able to just be by themselves or pick on one person, or like not insecure that they have to be following you around and stuff like that. Yeah. So
I find with my boyfriend, when I go to comedy gigs, say if I'm on the lineup and stuff, like he's a chef, so he's not used to being in these environments where there's like a lot of comedians in, you know, the backstage room, and they're all talking about, oh, how was your set, and you know, any gigs coming up, and he's just standing there and he's like, so does anyone ever have lobster for dinner? Like, he just doesn't know what to say. Yeah. He just doesn't know what to say to them, and he gets kind of uncomfortable, but he tries for me, but you can tell like it's just not his type of environment, but he tries anyway, so that's all that matters.
That's the main thing. And you were dating him before you did comedy, right? So
yeah.
So was he like super supportive when you decided? Because that's like a huge weird career that people are weird about, you know, sometimes they're not very supportive because they're like, oh, it's so hard to make it and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And just if Sarah wasn't aware, I started off on Facebook making videos, just kind of literally taking the piss out of certain stereotypes in Ireland and in my neighborhoods. And you know, they did really well. People could relate to them a lot because everyone knew someone like that. And then I started to kind of progress then onto stage and in clubs and stuff, because I already had a fan base, so those people would come and see me. But I was lucky in that sense, because I didn't have to start off in clubs and build my way up. I built online, so yeah, in Ireland, like, so that's how I started. And he was there, like, I went to college and I studied advertising and marketing, so I did internships and stuff, like, and he seen me graduate from college, he seen me graduate from school, and then I just ended up going off and being a comedian. So yeah, it was really
and what was hard. Yeah.
Well, his friends used to kind of like take the piss out of me. Like, I love his friends, like, we all get along great. But they kind of like thought it was just a flash in the pan type of thing when I started doing comedy, and they couldn't really take me seriously. But look who's laughing now. So yeah.
I love that. I think that's the same for everybody as well. When they start doing comedy, that their friends are a bit like, what is going on? I remember someone saying to me, I didn't know you were funny. And I was like, thanks.
Yeah, I think that's a compliment.
Yeah, it is, because I think a lot of comedians, well, me myself anyway, I would be very introverted, whereas when I'm on stage, I'm very extroverted. And I'm extroverted around people that I know.
Yeah.
But in public settings and I'm around people I don't know, I'm very introverted. I'm like really shy, and people are quite shocked when they meet me after shows, and they're like, you're really quiet in person. And I'm like, yeah, well, if I was like what I was on stage 24/7, I'd be a psychopath, you know.
I know, it's the same. Like, sometimes when I'm when I used to work behind the bar, like, I could be serving guys all the time, be regulars, and then a coworker will just be like, oh, did you know, are you going to Katie's comedy show or something? They'll be like, I had no idea you're a comedian, you haven't been funny the whole time. And it's like, well, I don't have to, I'm just like, this is me, just my normal personality.
Yeah.
You know, and then
that's your ego nearly, isn't it?
Yeah.
And just think of the guy that, or the girl that's like the funny one in the office, is kind of the most obnoxious person that you've ever met. So whenever someone's like, I didn't know that you were funny, you're like, good.
I know, because even like when I'm working in the bar, there'll always be, every time there'll be these guys who are telling jokes or stories, but loud enough for the whole place to hear. And you're like, oh, they should probably just do an open mic or something, and then they'd be probably a nicer person to be around, maybe, because they're just striving for that attention. Whereas any good comedians I know, they're not like that. They're not, if they're just naturally funny, they're naturally funny, but they're not like, blah, you know?
Yeah, they're listening.
I find that's why certain people fit the MC profile better than like actual stand-up comedians, because there's a guy from Liverpool and he's like really, really grown like now. His profile is huge just from videos of him in a really popular comedy club in Liverpool. And I went to see him. He came over to Dublin and he got famous from just literally segments of him in that club, just like laying into people in the audience. Like, I mean, like really like laying into them, making an absolute show of them, like embarrassing them. But his whole show when he came over to Dublin was just him doing that. And I got boring after a while. It was like, can you just tell us some jokes now? Like, it's a whole show of it. Yeah, it wasn't really great. Like, it just got a bit boring after a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think crowd work is only fun for about 5 minutes to de-escalate a situation and then move on. I want to hear about, like, I didn't come here to hear about the person in the front row, their life. Like, I want to hear your point of view.
Yeah, I completely agree. And Sarah, you met your husband in comedy.
Yes.
Oh, no way. He's a comedian.
He's a comedian. Yeah, he lived two blocks away from me. So I kept it really, that's my dating radius is I don't like to go far. I don't want to work hard.
Did you meet him on Tinder then?
Yeah. No, he was dating somebody else when I met him. And his friend I knew from Houston. And then they lived in the same apartment two blocks away. So that's how I met Joe, really.
Aww.
Yeah.
And like, would you help each other with material and stuff, or do you just kind of like not interfere or, you know, have opinions on it?
I think the way that we'll help each other with material is if we're talking or sharing like a story and we're unaware of it being that like funny or weird, we'll be like, that's really interesting or funny. You should try to maybe do that as a bit, but we don't really sit down. And I think our approaches are very different.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
I don't think any two comedians are the same. Like my boyfriend sometimes tries to have opinions on my jokes and I'm like, yeah, there's a reason you're not on the stage, you know?
I knew another, like a female comic, and her boyfriend gave her critique. And I just was like, I know it was coming from a good place, but I think she didn't like it. And then when I heard it, when she was telling me the story, I was like, oh, I think I would be upset.
Yeah, they don't understand. Like, they don't understand the system behind telling a joke. I do be the same. Like, it's just, you don't understand. It's really like an instinct more than anything, isn't it, to be a comedian?
Yeah.
And people think because they go to shows and they watch and they laugh and they're like, oh, well, I know what to laugh at. And it's like, no, you don't know. Like, this is a thing that, you know, takes us years to craft and to write. Mm. Yeah. That I really don't like when a person, and because as well, sometimes they might critique you on a set that you're already beating yourself up over that one joke. So I'm like, yeah. I'll murder you. Don't you think that I'm professional enough to know what joke didn't fucking work, you dope? So
yeah, you know, yeah. It, that's the worst thing I think about being a comedian is how badly you beat yourself up after a show. Like, I've never cried after a show, only once because it was absolutely soul destroying, but it's hard to switch off. It's really hard to switch off, especially, you know, and the people in the audience probably enjoyed it, but you just thought to yourself, I definitely could have done better, and I know I have done better. So yeah, it's kind of an internal battle sometimes being a comedian.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah, that's something I've been like really like the past year been like just try and enjoy it as much as possible and not beat myself up. Like, I'll say this quote, I say it in everything and every day in like every aspect of my life. But if I start to beat myself up, I'll just be like, just be nice to yourself. There's no point, because, you know, it really is. We can be way too hard. I definitely think that's a common trait in comedians, that you're just really hard on yourself.
And maybe it makes us better comedians. I don't know, like makes us work harder and stuff. But like you said, with that saying there, there's another one, talk to yourself the way you would talk to a friend if they were in that situation, you know? So I try to live by that as well.
Yeah. I'm always doing that to myself because, you know, like, I'll date shitty guys. And then if Tori, she's like my best friend, if she calls me about some shitty guy, I'm like, get rid of him. What are you doing? You deserve so much better. And then I'm like, why don't I say this shit to myself? It's really, I think that's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a catch-22. Like, I always get... My boyfriend always says to me, why don't you engage with the crowd more? And I'm like, that's just not me. Like, I'll say one or two things, but my style is not going into the crowd. It's, you know, scripted. Yeah, it's So I hate when people say that to me. It's like, you don't understand that every comedian, it wants to lay into the audience, you know. It's yeah. sometimes it's just a preference.
They also don't realize that's like saying, why don't you sing on stage? And like, because I fucking can't. Like, they just, but they just people don't realize.
Yeah, sometimes it's a skill. It's a skill to be able to just like be off the cuff, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I had someone recently be like, oh, why don't you do that? Because I like talk about dating, and then it would kind of go into sex stuff, but like, it's never too blue, but it does kind of just what I like talking about. And someone was like, would you not think about not talking about sex? And I'm like, no, this is, oh, go, like, go,
you're
go.
Interested in,
yeah, I think, yeah, sex, and it's is funny
that everyone can relate to as well.
Yeah. And then just because I came late to life to a lot of like sexual awakenings, like, so I'm like, this is new to me, you know. I'm like, ooh, orgasms.
Yeah, it's a different perspective. It's really weird when somebody tells you what you should be doing on stage, or that, like, I think it's absolutely insane. You're like, I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, we're all doing something, right? But come here to me. I want to ask you this before I forget it. A lot of people would always tell, when I started comedy over in New York, a lot of people would be like, oh, whatever you do, don't date comedians. And obviously you're married to a comedian. Was there like that thing where people were like, oh, don't shit where you eat? Or were you quiet about it at the start? Just like, was there any worries?
I feel like I've always dated comics, and I don't have a problem with it. I think it's just natural. I don't see anyone else outside of stand-up. So how am I going to meet other people? Also, stand-ups get it. They get that you go out every night and that's your job. And if Joe gets a gig and we had something planned, I'm always like, go do the gig. Like, I don't care. Like, at least if it's paid. If it's like something like, I don't know, a bar show, I'm like, oh, we could cancel that. Like, you don't have to show up to that. But, I think as long as you end it amicably, or you can always move to a new scene. That's what I've done.
I literally moved to a new city after I broke up with my ex-boyfriend in Ireland. So I'm always like, I'll just go slow with comedians. I really like New York City. Wait, you moved to a new scene from where? From Austin?
Well, no, I was in Houston, but I lived in LA for a brief moment, and I was in a long-term relationship with a guy out there, and we're still friends to this day, but like, I was just really unhappy there. And I think it was just easier if I moved back to Houston and just worked on stand-up out there. And then I was away from him. I think he would have had a harder time. I don't know why, but I feel like guys have a harder time with dating a comic than girls do. I think they don't want to hear sex or jokes about them on stage, where I don't care. I don't give a shit if you had a bit about me on stage.
Look, well, guys in general don't, I think that's something that I'll struggle with for the future, is that a lot of the guys I've done jokes about have, I've ran it by them and they're fine, because I've dated a lot of narcissists, they don't care. But I do work, think, you know, they're like, whatever.
I was really passive aggressive. I've dated a lot of narcissists.
Well, like, and it's not like, that's so awful. I've dated some great guys as well but a lot of them, maybe it's like an American thing where they're like, I don't give a shit. That's great. Yeah. Say what you want about me on stage. Like, and then they kind of enjoy it. But I'd always like, I know that there's like nice, or maybe guys who'd be like, oh, I don't want to talk about my dick. And I'm like, I'm not going to. That's not.
Yeah.
I'll ask you at least before if there's a funny story, but I'm not going to be like, who even wants to hear that? Like, I'm not going to, you know, and you'll know if something really funny happens to us or really bizarre, you can be like my ex Boris, that's not his real name, by the way, that's his code name, but he asked me specifically not to say something on the podcast, and I still haven't. I don't think, no, I haven't. But you know what I mean? If you ask me, I'm not going to. Like, they need to know that they can that we respect them as well to a certain extent.
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's lighthearted. I mean, unless you're like going up there and you're like being very malicious and stuff like that, but like, unless it's an ex. But I've often done gigs where my boyfriend and his family have been there, like, you know, big shows that would be kind of like a milestone to me, and I've literally talked like about our sex life, embarrassing him in front of his family, like, and I just love that, like, and everyone in the audience are aware that his family are there, so it's even funnier, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the thing, we have to be able to be with people who are secure and able to laugh at themselves. But
yeah,
for the podcast listeners, you dating someone who's a comedian also relates to them as well, because I feel like now people are only going to be able to date coworkers going forward with the pandemic, because people are going to be back in work quicker than they're going to be out at bars. So I think that's something, and like a lot of people would say, don't shit where you eat, but I've always shat where I ate, you know, but I'm also...
Me too. I'm also into like have sex with your friends. Because like ultimately your partner is supposed to be your friend and it's supposed to be a good foundation like that. But like, I think it works if you're not an asshole or you're not like two psychotic people, then I think it can work. Maybe an office would be different. I don't know, because I cannot run into a comic for at least 6 months and be in the same scene.
Yeah, it would be really awkward if like things ended badly and like you have to go and work with that person for 8 hours a day in a small office space. Like, so I don't think I'd be in that.
I've actually quit a job because of that, so never mind actually.
Really?
Yeah, well, I was at a bar. I broke up with him and then I quit. I didn't go back. I was just like, I can't even deal with it, because I don't like this job that much. And he got really angry. Now we're actually friends since a few years later, you know. And he's actually a lovely lad. He just handled it bad. And I think it was a shock, you know, it was abrupt. But and I did it over the phone while I was in Ireland, so but yeah, so then I just texted the job and I was like, nah, I'm not coming back. I can't deal with that right now. They were like, okay.
I know. Well, when people are like, oh, I don't take comics, I just feel like I'm like, why are you limiting your dating pool? Because it's already hard enough to find people anyway that are a good fit. So I feel like you should just keep all your options open and never like, you know, limit yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. What will be, I think. Like, do you believe in that, you know, what's meant to be will be, and if they don't cross your path for no reason and stuff?
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you can't force it,
and it's nice to think that way, because then like it's a great clutch. I say that, you know, like even with the last guy I was seeing, I kept being like, oh, was it right to end it? But then I'm like, actually, if it was meant to be, it would be. And that's just so, it's an easy way to kind of move past your overthinking, I feel.
Yeah, like I had a friend who was going out with a guy for 5 years and they lived together. And she was like really kind of pressuring him, because she was into her 40s, and she was really pressuring him about marriage and stuff like that. But he was just like, I don't think I ever want to get married. And she just didn't like that. And he kind of was just couldn't understand the fact that, why do we have to put like a ring on each other's finger to prove what we mean to each other? But they ended up separating, and then he got engaged to someone else.
Of course. Always.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard those stories as well before. That seems to happen a lot.
Yeah, I definitely think there was more than, we don't need to put a ring on each other's finger. So,
yeah, we just don't need to put a ring. We actually don't need to put a ring on each other's fingers, because, yeah, that, and it's usually quick after. I had a friend, similar thing as well, and he was married like within 9 months.
Well, I would be hurt now. I think I would be hurt if that was me. You would really start kind of looking at yourself in the mirror and being like, what did I not have that this person does, you know?
Yeah. Well, I would also just be mad at him for like, he should have broken up with her.
Yeah.
Clearly he wasn't that into her like that. I would be mad at him for stringing her along for that long.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nearly like a comfort blanket, like looking back now, you know, just someone there that he had. And then when he found something better, then he like moved along. So I always said, me and my boyfriend don't live together, but we will be moving in next month. Because we got together fairly young. We were only like 16. So like we always said, we would only ever get married if we lived together first, because I don't think you really know someone until like you live with each other, like someone inside out, you know. Well, I practically do know I'm inside out, but just for security.
exactly. Like there's things that are going to come out, and habits, and that you just couldn't even imagine. So.
Oh yeah. Well, did you hear? Like, I think divorce rate's really high right now during pandemic. Like people have broken up because of pandemic, because you're hanging out all the time.
I know, and that's really hard. Like I feel sad for the people who do break up, because after the quarantine you're gonna go back to your normal life, because that's no one should be expected to be okay with someone 24/7. Like that's not possible. Like me and my sister would kill each other if we were together 24/7. you know, like that's, and especially in small, in city life where it's apartments and you can't, like, at least if you had like a farm or something or a bit of space on your land, you can go for a little walk or something. But that's not, I feel sorry for the people who do divorce, because if they could kind of just, I don't know, that probably wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the pandemic. But maybe, maybe for some people, maybe.
And a couple who run a business together, you know, like that, you're going into work together, you're going home together.
I know.
That would be like really like straining, I think, on a relationship. I actually don't know many relationships that have worked like that. It, like at least you and your husband, you're comedians, but you would probably be in two different places all the time.
Oh yeah. He's going on a gig tonight and I'm looking forward to it that I get to stay home.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't know how people walk together, go home together, wake up together.
It was just that's psychotic
again.
Yeah. And would you guys have any advice for kind of keeping their long-term relationship going, because you're both very in very long-term relationships?
Well, don't expect everything to be, you know, linear for the whole 12 years. Like, there will be ups and downs. Like, we broke up loads of times, you know, maybe for very short periods, but I mean, we didn't see anyone else. But yeah, like, it's not going to be plain sailing, I'll put it that way. And it's what makes you stronger.
Yeah.
I don't know. I always say, I don't like, do stuff together. I mean, check in with each other. I think Joe and I, if we realize that, say if I'm on my phone all the time, I'm like, I gotta put this down and like
all girls are like
like be there mentally for him. I'll watch myself on that. Or like if we realize that we haven't seen each other all day or like or a week or so, we'll just be like, hey, we'll like make a time to like hang out or be on the same page. I think that helps rather than like falling, like drifting apart.
And I think as well, it's very important that if you're going through anything, you know, you've had a really bad day at work, that you can come home and they're going to listen to you. Because if they find you to be, I suppose, a pest or like a burden, I don't think it's going to work long term. Like you need, and vice versa, I think you need to make time to listen to your partner and their problems. It's not all about you and what goes on in your world.
Yeah, that's great advice. That's so true.
Sometimes I'm like, oh, I hate listening to his problems.
I sometimes tune out, but I'm just like,
Yeah. I call it emotional dumping.
That's all I want. I just want to, I literally said this to my friends yesterday. I was like, the main thing I want in a boyfriend is someone who just listen to me. Cause you feel like with your friends, you don't want to burden them, but someone who's like, who loves you, you can be like, here, look. And it's just like someone called me a knob on TikTok. I'm like, who cares? People call you shit all the time. But I guess because I clicked on her name and she had an Irish profile, so I wasn't expecting that. And it's not, again, it's not a big deal, but I would love to have had a boyfriend just be like, someone called me a knob, and for them just be like, you're not. You know, those are things. Know. It's so nice.
Like, I think between me and my boyfriend, he's very he's like the realist in the relationship. So, you know, when I start planning things like 2 or 3 months down the line, he's like, we literally only have today. And you're like, why are you planning like, you know, 3 months in advance? We could be all dead tomorrow. And I'm like, can I not get excited about something? You know, he's like,
I know.
Just live in the now. Like, it's sometimes that can be a bit annoying.
Yeah. And what about like, if you don't mind me asking, like sex life stuff, do you ever have to like spice it up, or are you just like, I don't know. I've never been in longer than 3 years, and the sex life died pretty much 6 months before that. So,
well, I do feel like sometimes you go into these slumps of like, I don't know. For me, as I got older, I feel like I'm not as, would you would say, horny,
sexually active.
Yeah, that you're like. But you do realize how important sex is for the relationship. And I think sometimes I deal with depression that I realize I don't ever like to go and do things, but once I'm in the middle of it, I like it. So I do have to not like force myself to have sex, but I do tell myself like, this is for us and like, it's important. Yeah. And we do switch it up.
That's good. Yeah.
I actually remember watching a video on TikTok. Some videos are actually very informative, some pages. And there was one girl who she was like, is it just me or am I like the only girl in the world that sometimes just doesn't like sex? She's like, sometimes I would just go months without it and it would not bother me. And I was like, I think, you know, a lot of girls would go through that type of phase, whether they're in a relationship or not.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but
no. I agree with you because I think I'm like crazy horny person, but like I love sex and I love but
it's fun.
Yeah, but I could go a year with maybe only having had sex with one person, but I still like think about it and like it, but I'm not like not to the point where like I'm perfectly happy not having it either and just like masturbating or whatever, but I'm not like I need to go bang people. I'm just and even if I have it that once a year, that actually could be a bit of a disappointment because I could be like, ah, actually I would have been better alone. So yeah, I think girls are I've heard that a lot from some of my friends as well, or just yeah, that they get in periods where they're just not in the mood and it could be just stuff going on.
I think what happens when that does happen is to not go into that slump because you know, because you're in a relationship, sometimes I think whether it be your boyfriend that feels like that or you that feels like that, they might just let it go because they think, oh well, maybe this is just part of a relationship now, or together so long and maybe this is how it's supposed to be. But I think it's very important not to get into that slump, and like Sarah said, you know, switch things up, and like you might not be in the humor, but once you do get into the middle of it, you're like, okay, so you know, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, orgasms are great.
they're such a joy. I can't believe I lived so long thinking I was orgasming and I wasn't. I couldn't believe it. The first time I orgasmed, I was like, I've lied to all of these men.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I felt a tingle.
Oh yeah, I had an orgasm. Isn't that funny? And then when you do, you're like, oh, that's totally different than what I thought was happening.
But you know, like some guys, like they find it very weird. They're like, what? Like women don't. Like I think only like 20% of women or something do during it. And I think guys find that really weird. And it's like, it's just the way women are built. Like don't take offense to it. There's other ways to go about it, you know?
No, yeah. I know. I think also, like, I have to be in the right mindset. So if I have a lot of obligations that day, or a lot of times if we're like a 30-minute window and I was like, we can't do 30 minutes because then we have this time crunch and then we get all in our heads about it and then both parties don't orgasm. And then we're weirded out by it. We're like, what was that?
I know. It's like a anticlimax. Like you... Yeah, I don't like that when you've put in this effort to something and you're not getting that. It's really depressing then because you're not getting the happy feeling.
And I know. Yeah, plan it as well. It's not the same. I just think spontaneous all the way.
Yes. No. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't mean like walking down the road and someone just jumps out.
Your boyfriend's just like poo. No, yeah, God, I don't know. I think I do remember with the long-term boyfriend, like buying like sexy, like trying to spice it up. Cause I also had gone off the pill and I'd been on the pill and I started to feel like really unattracted to him, but I had read up that sometimes that affects it. I don't know. Maybe it was just also, I just started being unattracted to him, but I do remember going to like Ann Summers and getting like crotchless underwear and us like go, because we lived together, and us like then going on a night to like a hotel and like being like, let's have sex on that chair, or you know, so like it was only like little things, but that was very different for us. So, or like handcuffs, we did like the tie and stuff. You know, eventually we broke up, but if we were meant to be together, that probably would have, you know. Yeah, I definitely think trying it at least before you end.
And what do you think about, like, because you've had a few relationships, like what do you think about like sending like pictures and stuff like that? Like, would you be very I suppose vigilant? Like, would you not, have you done it, and like would you know who to trust?
Yeah, like I have done it only to two guys, and I trusted them because, and it wasn't my vagina. I'm not sending anybody my vagina.
Yeah.
never gonna look good. I don't know, that's too much. I wouldn't even know how to send it, but I've sent like one where this is so embarrassing. This was with Boris, and I do trust him just because he had no friends and he doesn't trust the internet, so he had like no social media, so it's not like and I even if it did, it was a very tasteful, classy photo. I don't really mind. And who's he going to send it to? Even if I got successful, I'd be like, I don't care. But
this is a nice picture. Yeah.
Yeah. I looked up, I researched how to take sexy, classy photo, and went onto this website, and then I'd say there was probably about 50 like outtakes before, but it was like, could see my boobs and my hand was over my vagina. So it was I lost it now. I don't know where it is, but, and I couldn't resend it to the next guy because I moved to a new apartment. So he'd kind of know it was recycled.
Yeah.
And then with the last guy I was seeing, I sent one of my boobs just cause he's like pretty innocent. Like he's like, he would never ask for it and he'd never sexted before. And I knew he didn't sext before because he was kind of bad at it. So I just like it when they're kind of not like, I would never, if a guy's like, show me a picture, I'm like, you're never getting one now.
I would be very vigilant if a guy said that. Yeah. Cause then you're just like, he probably has a fucking album with like loads of random girls. Yeah. Like that would just freak me out.
And your boobs is like, everybody's seen boobs. No big deal. Like, do you know? I'm like, I don't care if that.
I mean, like, you can open a biology book and see boobs. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's
how I Yeah. I wouldn't care if my nudes were leaked. I just wouldn't want a video of me blowing somebody. Like, that would be so... That to me, that's like embarrassing, or for people to see me having sex. Like, I don't want to have that.
That's a bit too intimate, I think.
Yeah. Well, also, I don't even want to see myself because I get really into it, and it's like I float away, and I don't care about my face and stuff like that. But that's because I don't know what I look like. I never want to see, because I'm sure my face is fucking mental, like just, and I wouldn't be able to orgasm then if I knew what I looked like. And yeah, I think ignorance is bliss. I don't need to see a fucking video of me like trying to hop on top.
Have like loads of mirrors in their room and stuff. Like,
I can't.
And like a mirror on their ceiling. Do you ever see people who like put mirrors on their ceilings? Like that's
weird. Turn around and walk out. I'd be like, see you later. This is not fair.
Yeah. I wouldn't date a guy that had a mirror on his ceiling.
I did like Boris had like window mirrors all across one, because it was like it came with the apartment now, it wasn't his thing, but like what are they called, like, you know those presses that are mirrors,
like wardrobes,
thanks, she's
sliding wardrobes,
yeah, sliding wardrobes. And I do remember like once looking over and just being like, oh, this looks ridiculous, you know, and just seeing them just be like banging you, you know.
Yeah. Like you're just critiquing everything, you're like, this is not like what the magazines say it's
about. No, everyone's airbrushed and you're like, we're just like two ugly people fucking right now.
Yeah, it's just not possible. That's funny actually, because when I was looking up the I love you research, they were just saying again, so even about like, we're talking about sex, but like how romanticized it is in movies, and some guy said actually like the romance movie should come after I Love You, because that's when all the work is and stuff. And I was like, oh, that's lovely. Anyway, just wanted to share that, what I thought about that. Because it is true, like movies and everything, it just ruins us for everything.
Oh, I was just going to say that, like, I remember I was in a long-term relationship and then I got out when I was 30, and that's when I moved here. And I just remember when I started dating, all of a sudden this thing switched. Guys wanted to come on your face. That was new, and I was like, this has to be porn.
Yeah, oh, that's what I was just about to say. I think that it sends out, I suppose, like the wrong message. Not the wrong message, but like high expectations. Mm-hmm. It gives guys high expectations, and it's like those women are like paid to do that. They're born that way, like, you know what I mean? Half of them aren't even like, you know, actually orgasm, and like it's...
I promise this to any future lad. That's one thing I draw the line on, is come on face. I don't want that. I don't want, and that was actually an issue between the last guy I was seeing, because he wanted to titty wank, and I think I mentioned this on the podcast before, but he wanted to titty wank, and I said to him, well, A, I don't have tits, and B, where would you come? Like, why are you going to titty wank with these things? Like, and then like literally they're not, there's like little, they're little, you know, a little, anyway. And then I just go, where would you come then? And he kind of got frustrated with me because he said I ruined the mood by saying that, like, why does it matter? And I was like, because obviously you're going to come on my neck or my face. And I, yeah, well, I would not want that. And he was like, oh, that, yeah, but what, like, what's the big, you know? And he was just like, he was kind of frustrated by it, but I guess because I ruined his little fantasy. But like, I don't want cum on my neck or my face.
Yeah, no. Take it up and like shower then. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, I can't, like, my friend freaked me out before when she said like she would just turn over and go to sleep with all of that on her body. And I'm like, so are you saying if like someone like squirted a lot of ketchup at you, you just like lie in bed and turn over? Like, would you not just like wipe it off?
Yeah, you have to wipe. Like, I've had guys come on my back and like my stomach and all. I don't mind that. And like, you know, I've got a cross. I'm like, come on, Jesus. But but yeah, wipe it off. I'm not like moisturizing my tits. Like,
no, it just feels like a weird disrespectful thing. And if that's what you're getting off to, then I find that kind of, I'm not into it, but I won't kink shame. There's probably girls out there that are into it.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong to it. But for me personally, I feel like, if you're going to come on my face, like, I want to do something to you that's equally degrading, and then they won't let you.
Yeah, like sit on your face, sit on their face. Yeah. That's the thing. Guys like that too. I've had guys be like, sit on my face. And I'm like, I don't want to.
Really? I'm like, yeah. Okay. I love sitting.
Do you? I have done it. I've done it a couple of times, but yeah, I'd rather just lie on my back while they eat me out. But again, yeah, you never know. Things change, and you're like, maybe in a year or two, I'll be like, come on my face. You know, you just can't, you just don't know. Yeah.
You don't know.
And that just be like the slogan for this podcast.
I'm gonna title it, come on my face, and we'll see how many people will listen.
do they might be like, guys get weirded out, because I know my other half got really weirded out when he heard that women like actually masturbate. Like, he got really weirded out by that. And like, I don't know why, because I just, because I'm like his fourth relationship, so he wouldn't have talked to a lot of girls about this. But, and even guys I went to school with, like, you know, we were out one night and we were all catching up and like we got drunk and we all started talking about this type of stuff, and like they were shocked to hear that like men aren't the only ones who do it. And I was like, yeah, like this isn't just a trend now, like this has been happening for years. Like,
I didn't masturbate because I actually remember when I was 15, the guys checking our fingernails, and whoever had long nails, they were like, oh, that's good, that means you don't finger yourself. So there was kind of like a shaming element for sure.
Really?
yeah. And I remember, and again, I even if I fingered myself now, I wouldn't get anything from it. Like, I just didn't know about how to work the clitoris and stuff well. And like, I didn't start masturbating until my mid-20s, I think. Like, it was after I moved here, but best thing I ever did. Such a happier, chiller person. Can't believe that, like, changed my personality.
That's why you're only having sex once a year now.
yeah, I'm like, I got me. But no,
that's empowering.
Oh yeah, but you like, that's the thing, you the guy should definitely want the girl to know her body, because it makes it easier for them. That's it.
Well, I think sometimes it's like an insult, like that's the way I felt. He took it, he was like, what's wrong with me? And I'm like, there's nothing wrong with you. I was like, you still like go off and do your own thing when I'm not around, so what's wrong with me doing it, you know? Yeah, like,
exactly.
I do it at least once a day. Like,
and we're not made the same. Like, I for me personally don't be like thinking like, ooh, Zac Efron, that's just so unrealistic for me. I'm usually just like, I had a nice day and I'm just masturbating and it's like clouds in my head or something, you know. It's not
or like that chimpanzee banging the two things off the drum.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like getting a good massage. I'm not usually thinking about sex or, yeah.
Yeah. It is where you're like, how come we're not? Beth Stilling, have you seen her special? She has like a funny joke about like girls are never offered a full release.
I
feel like we should.
I'd pay extra. I'd be happy out. And like, that's the other thing is that like, when you were saying about the lads getting offended, I hate that, because I can only come with me masturbating during sex. I can't come any other way. And that's how it took so long.
A lot of girls are like that though. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're going to have to just like, well, you're going to have to get used to this, because otherwise it's only going to be you making the noises here, pal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just think it was more like an ego thing. Like, God love him, he's, you know, the nicest person you could ever come across. But I just think his ego is a bit kind of put out of place to think that, am I doing something wrong? Like, that's, I think that's where he was coming from. And I'm like, no, it's completely natural.
Also, as well, you two are probably your first. Well, I know you were with the other guy, but yeah, that's like, you haven't had loads of relationships where you find this out along. Like, a lot of guys would find that out as they grow up, you know, with different girlfriends and stuff. So, yeah, so it's different.
Literally, the only two people, like, I've only ever done it with him, and he's only ever done it with me. So,
that's amazing.
Yeah. Not really. It gets boring after a while. But however.
Well, you, that you're still together. It's great.
Gets boring the other way too, though. So.
Yeah. That's true.
Having someone who knows your biology, like for me anyway, and again, I haven't had that long term, but I mean, like, yeah, because if you're just having a bunch of guys who you're always trying to figure it out with, actually, I think it'd be nice to have one consistent partner that you can. Yeah. I think. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's nice because, like, if you have one bad sex session or whatever, it's like, whatever, we've had thousands.
Yeah.
Like, they can't all be good. So you don't, there's no pressure with it. If you have one bad, you're like, it's whatever. Like, we're not in our right mindset right now. So let's try again later.
Yeah.
Or if you were dating somebody and then that happened, you would be like, oh my God, is this what it's going to be like being with this person?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And you're more understanding about things, and then you can laugh about things that maybe you wouldn't with a new partner, like your vagina fart or whatever. Which is always the guy's fault. Sorry. How many positions in 5 seconds do you want to do? What are you expecting here? Okay.
That's a very good point.
I was just gonna say that hasn't happened to me in a while, but it did happen with one partner a while back, and he goes, I mean, it was the third time you're having sex, and he goes, don't worry, that happens all the time. And I was like, I'm not worried, but thanks for that. Yeah. Like, he's like, don't worry, it's fine. I'm like, it's, yeah, I'm fine, thanks, I'm not, I don't care.
Yeah, don't fart, Shelly.
Yeah, it's not even a fart, it's just air. Vagina.
Yeah.
I better not take more of your time because it's been a while, but please promote yourselves.
What do I have to say?
Just where people can follow you, even though they're probably already following you because you have a huge following. But yeah, like, or is there anything you want to promote? Anything coming up that the listeners can go find you at? Or
not unless you live in Ireland. I do have a couple of shows coming up, socially distant ones. But you can go over to my social media pages, which is Giz a Laugh, so G-I-Z Giz a Laugh, Instagram and Facebook, and yeah, you can find all our content there and comedy content. If you enjoyed me on the podcast, if it's your first time finding out who I am, this is probably the most person you'll ever get from me, so
thank you so much. And what about you, Sarah? What's your Instagram page?
At Salamash. That's just my first initial with my last name, and it's for both Instagram and Twitter. And then stream my album Voluptuous Boy on any one of the streaming services.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Next week's guest will be the two Johnnies, you know, if they're still able to do it by then. So please message me if you have any questions for them, and yeah, just, you can DM me or shoot us an email, and just have a lovely week. Thank you so much, and please rate, review if you can, if you have the time. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.